You're listening to the Newsmakers Podcast from MLB.com.
My next guest has a great resume in baseball. He's one of the best switch hitters in baseball history. He is now a broadcaster for the New York Yankees. I'm talking about Ken Singleton. Ken, thank you so much for being with me.
Bill, it's my pleasure. How have you been?
Doing great. Thank you so much.
All right.
I want to talk about last year's Yankees. How surprised were you that they were as competitive as they were?
Well, I was kind of surprised because, in fact, they kind of played two different teams during the course of the year. They had the older team at the beginning, comprised mostly of the veterans. You had A-Rod and you had Mark Teixeira, and neither one of them had performed the way they had the year before, to the point where A-Rod was eventually let go and Teixeira announced his retirement. And in that regard, the Yankees kind of held in there, but it was really when they called up the youngsters, and of course I'm speaking primarily of Gary Sanchez, that the team really performed much better in the second half of the year, starting in August and then somewhat into September. But I think that in the future, with all the young players the Yankees got in the trades and some of the youngsters that come through their own organization, there'll be better days ahead. And the fact that they won 84 games, I think that's a testament to Joe Girardi and his coaching staff, the job that they were able to do and kept the Yankees streak going. They've had 23 straight years now of 500 or better seasons or winning seasons, and, you know, that's only been matched one other time in baseball history.
You know, Ken, that was my next question. Was it the players that helped the team go over 500, or was it the manager?
I think Joe has a good way, and his coaching staff has a very good way of playing to win and trying to keep that atmosphere in the clubhouse. Even though they might lose a few in a row, I think that he tries to have somewhat of a positive message. Now, I know that some days he's not very happy, as all managers are from time to time, but for the most part, he tries to keep it positive, and I think that resonates throughout the locker room. And it helps the Yankees in that regard that their main goal is to try and win every single year. I mean, get to the playoffs. And, of course, it didn't happen last year. But I think with the team that they had, the team that didn't score nearly as much as it had the year before, to win 84 ball games and finish over 500 and kind of be on the periphery of the race all season long was a testament to Joe and his staff.
How good is Girardi? You know, like when the Yankees lost all those veteran players, I said to myself, this team's going to be in last place. And then all of a sudden I forgot that Joe Girardi managed the 2006 Marlins with all those rookies, and they almost won the division. And I forgot all about that. How good is Girardi?
Yeah, well, he was manager of the year that year, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Yeah, and of course, to win and do what he did with that type of team, as young as they were, and now more, you know, he has more resources, of course, with the Yankees. I do think, though, that he came to the Yankees with a winning attitude. He had played for the Yankees, World Series champions back in 96. The team had kind of set off that good dynasty, if you will, of the Yankees that ran into the early 2000s and culminated in 2009. Now they're trying to get back to it. I just think that he's the perfect guy to kind of lead them back into the playoffs and possibly to the World Series.
Ken, you have Aroldis Chapman back. You have Matt Holliday on the roster. But I think when it boils down to is the starting pitching. And to tell you the truth, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not crazy about the starting pitching. What do you think?
Yeah, I would look at it, and there are some question marks, definitely. You know, if you're looking at CeCe Sabathia, he's coming down to the final year of his contract. And if he wants to continue to pitch, it's not for the Yankees, just in baseball in general, he's going to have a pretty good year. I don't think he's going to make the money next year if he's with the Yankees or another team that he's making this year. I do think that there is room for improvement. I do think the Yankees have some good young pitchers on the horizon. In particular, I'm thinking of James Kaprielian, who probably will start the year in the minor leagues. He was a number one draft pick, and you know he pitched very well in the fall league. I do think that Severino will have a better year. And I just read the other day that he's been working with Pedro Martinez, of all people, that maybe Yankee fans are saying, well, you know, if Pedro can get him the pitch like Pedro, the Yankees would be very happy. I don't know how happy the Red Sox would be, but I know that the Yankees would be pretty happy if Severino, who does have, everybody agrees he has a plus-plus arm. It's just a matter of harnessing his talent. And I think the Yankees, Chad Green is another young pitcher who showed flashes last year. And certainly you're looking for improvement, making that next step. And there are some others, too, that I think that can help the Yankees out. Of course, Tanaka, everything is based upon his health. And last year, he performed very well. Won 14 games. I think he only lost four.
Right.
So he's the type of pitcher can be the ace of your staff. So I'm not saying that it's the greatest pitching staff. I think you have to look to the Boston Red Sox or the starters that would be the best. But I think the Yankees, if they can score more, they might be less reliant on their pitchers to, you know, hold the opposition to two or three runs. If the Yankees can score, yeah, I think the magic number in baseball, if you score around five a game, you're going to win most of your games.
You know, Tanaka, you know, I'm waiting for his arm to fall off, but he still keeps pitching. How does he manage to do it? I know he needs Tommy John surgery. How does he manage to do it?
Yeah, well, he doesn't need it as of yet. He's been able to pitch through it. He changed his style somewhat last year. He threw fewer four-seam fastballs, which means, you know, his fastball sat around 91, 92. But every once in a while, he'd get it up 94, 95. But he relied mostly on two-seam fastball. A lot more movement. His splitter is among the best in the league. Maybe not as good as it was when he first hurt his elbow, but still one of the best. And he has an excellent slider. And we do know that he has very, very good control. And also, he has one of the, you know, in one of these new stats, he has one of the best chase rates in the league to get hitters to chase pitches out of the strike zone. And that certainly helps him out when he's going for a strikeout with his splitter. Tanaka, you're right. He's a question mark every time he goes out there. But to this point, he's been pretty good. I think the Yankees are happy he's not going to pitch in the WBC. Mm-hmm. He's going to skip that and give all of his talents to the Yankees this year.
That's good. Hey, you know, you talked about Gary Sanchez. I want to ask you about Aaron Judge. You know, he got off to a great start, and then he started striking out too much before he got hurt. Is this guy the real deal?
I know Yankee fans hope so. He's done pretty well the second time around in each step in the minor leagues, and maybe that can be the same thing could be said for the major leagues. He's a tremendous specimen, first of all. He's got tremendous power. But you're right, he's striking out at a tremendous clip as well. He's going to have to cut down on that, learn. He's got power to right center field, but I'm talking about just getting hits. It's not all about home runs. You know, you'd like to see him hit 40 home runs, but you'd like to see him hit 260, 270, 280 while doing so, not around 220 with a boatload of strikeouts. I think he's going to have to adjust to the point where he's not chasing pitches out of the strike zone. It seems that he had a blind spot for the slider down and away. He's going to have to get that under control because major league pitchers, as opposed to pitchers in the minor leagues, they can exploit your weaknesses better than anybody in the world. So you're going to have to make the adjustments. And it'll be interesting to see what he does in spring training. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the spring and youngsters like Clint Frazier, Gleyber Torres, players like this. Greg Bird will be back this year.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how these youngsters all fit into the Yankee picture this year.
I want to ask you this, Ken. You've been with the team since 1997 as a broadcaster. Do you think, you know how Yankee fans are, I grew up a Yankee fan, and nothing is better than a championship. Anything less is a failure. Do you think this team will see more championships with the young Bucks they have coming up?
Well, I can see it happening in the not-too-distant future as these players get more experience. I think, you know, one thing Brian Cashman, the Yankee general manager, has tried to do is really ratchet up the pitching. And, you know, years ago when I played for Baltimore, our general manager, Hank Peters, used to say, when you think you have enough pitching, go get one more. Mm-hmm. So I think every deal the Yankees have made, it always seems like they get a pitcher back. So I think that what they're trying to do is give themselves depth, you know, especially in this day and age where pitchers seem to be breaking down right and left, but you're going to need a vast reservoir of pitching to get through a season. It's not 9 or 10 pitchers that are going to get the job done. It's more like 17, 18, 19, maybe even 20 that are going to get the job done during the course of the year.
Right. Other than the pitching, is there anything else you want to see the Yankees improve on?
I want to see them score more runs. I think that they had way too many games where they scored three or less last year. I'm not sure the number. If you look it up, Bill, I'm sure you would agree with me that there's just too many games where they couldn't put it over the top, and they put way too much pressure on the starting pitchers and the relievers, for that matter, and they couldn't win.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the magic number is five. If you can get near five runs a game, you're going to be okay, and they're going to have to get closer to that than they did last year.
Right. I want to change the subject a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You first became an All-Star with the Expos as a player. And do you think we will ever see a Major League team in Montreal?
I do. I think that Major League Baseball is trying to get two teams figured out, and that's Oakland and Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once they get those two franchises figured out with new stadiums and better revenue supply sources, I think that then you'll see Major League Baseball think about expansion. And they'll probably expand by two teams like they usually do. And Montreal would probably want to be one of those two cities.
Mm-hmm.
I know that most cities that lose a team, if they get a second chance, they usually do much better the second time around. And I think what you've seen with Montreal is the Blue Jays have been playing exhibitions there the last few springs before the season started. And they've done very well. They've had two games, and I think they've drawn close to 100,000 for the two games in each year. So that kind of tells you there's an interest in baseball in Montreal, and they just need the right scenario. I understand that the land is available downtown. They need a downtown stadium. They need an owner with deep pockets, like most teams have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they would be okay. They need the good sponsors. They didn't have quite enough sponsors the first time around. Before I was with the Yankees, I did Montreal games.
Yes.
And you could see it just slipping away year after year, particularly after the 94 season when the Expos were in first place and the strike canceled the rest of the season. I think the fans were sorely disappointed, and that's when baseball kind of started to go away in Montreal. The fans just said, well, they thought it was some sort of conspiracy, but they didn't want the Expos to finish first and get to the World Series, and they wanted to play the Yankees. I think the Yankees were in first place that year, too.
That's correct.
And that's who they wanted to play, and it didn't work out, and baseball went straight downhill, and the Expos couldn't afford to keep their better players. And you saw players like Larry Walker go. You saw Pedro go, Pedro Martinez. You saw Marquise Grissom go, Moises Alou leave. And this was the backbone of that team in 94. Those were the type of players that, I believe they had about a six-game lead on the Braves at the time when the season was canceled.
Ken, you were a broadcaster for the Expos that year, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, how great was that team? Everyone says that they would have been the world champions that year.
They were very, very good. Felipe Alou was a tremendous manager. That team did everything. They played solid defense. They had very good speed. Seemed like everybody could go first to third on a base hit. They had clutch hitting. They had power. They had very good pitching. They had John Wetland closing along with Mel Rojas was his setup man, who Mel had a great year that year. But as I mentioned, a lot of these players disappeared because of the fact that the Expos couldn't afford them. When the time came to pay them, they were basically on their way out of town. I really believe that they had a really good shot at being the world champs. And who knows, baseball probably would have stayed in Montreal if that had happened.
Ken, I got to tell you, I lived in Montreal for 2 years. I covered the team for 2 years, and
mm-hmm.
I loved Montreal. What did you like about Montreal?
Well, first of all, I had actually, as you mentioned, I had played for the Expos and had my really first big year in the major leagues there. I hit over 300 one year, hit over 20 homers, scored 100 runs, drove in 100, and led the league in on-base percentage. And that was my first really big year in the major league. When I came up with the Mets But I didn't play all the time with the Mets. And being traded to Montreal, I got my opportunity to be an everyday player, and I tried to make the most of it. And in fact, I made the most of it so much that I got on the radar of the Baltimore Orioles, and they traded for me. And that was a big break in my career to play for the Orioles organization, one that had a reputation for winning. In fact, the 10 years I was there, we won more games than any other team. Mm-hmm. And I got to play for Earl Weaver, a Hall of Fame manager. I had the Hall of Fame teammates, and it was a lot of fun. I still live in the Baltimore area, and I'm still tight with a lot of my former teammates. We don't play baseball anymore, of course, but we play a lot of golf together.
That's great. I just want to ask you one more thing about Montreal. Did you love living there?
Yeah, I did. In fact, I stayed there a couple of off seasons. Of course, it was pretty cold.
Yes.
I think that was the only drawback. One year, it was really cold. It seemed like it snowed every day. And this is after I'd been traded to Baltimore, and I was talking to my new teammate at the time, Rick Dempsey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was watching the same football game he was watching, but he was in California watching it on his back deck, and I was inside not wanting to go outside. So I told my wife, I said, we're moving to California. So that's where we went. I got to play a lot more golf in the wintertime, do a lot more outdoor things. But being an East Coast, playing for an East Coast team, I had more opportunities on the East Coast, and eventually resigned the Baltimore area and been there for many, many years, although now we have a place in Florida, and that's where I am right now, speaking to you from Florida.
Wow.
Because it's a lot nicer here than it is there right now.
The game of baseball has treated you well.
Yeah, it has. I've been very fortunate, as I said, played on some very good teams. I've worked in the broadcast business for a long time now. I think this is my 30-something year doing it, 32nd, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 34, yeah. 22 with the Yankees and 12 with the Expos. So I've been fortunate. I've worked hard at it. You just don't go up there and get for this length of time if you don't put the time in. So I've been doing my job. I've always said the best job is being a player, but the second best job is being able to talk about it.
Cool. Ken Singleton, I got to tell you, I can talk to you forever, and I want to thank you for being on the show, and you take care of yourself.
Bill, you too. I hope you enjoy the season. It'll be here pretty soon.
I know. Take care.